This is Way of the Master Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Perkenis. All right, as we go into the weekend, let me just let you add some things to your prayer list, if I may. Imprisoned and tortured for her Christian faith since December, 37-year-old Azeeb Simon died of malaria in Eritrea's Wea Military Training Center last week. She had been weakened by ongoing torture. She contracted malaria about a week before she died. Christians in the prison are rarely given medical attention, and the sources said authorities refused to provide same for her malaria. Simon was the sister of former Eritrean television journalist Binyamin Simon, who recently fled the country after abandoning his career at the government-controlled TV. Prisoners at the Wea military camp are under constant pressure to recant. It was June 8th when Compass Direct News learned that eight Christian brothers held in the Adi Qala prison were taken to the medical emergency facilities as a result of torture by military personnel. The young lady's death, by the way, makes a total of five Christians whom Compass Direct has confirmed have died in Eritrean prisons after being tortured for refusing to recant their faith. And we're upset with name-calling. Kazakhstan, which already places burdens on religious organizations, will substantially increase restrictions on expressions of faith if new legislation becomes law, according to the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. The former member of the Soviet bloc, already requiring religious groups to register with the government. Under current law, unregistered groups have to pay fines, and supposedly non-traditional religious bodies are prohibited from registering or have their registration applications significantly delayed, says the commission. The new measure would increase the number of members a religious group must have to register from 10 to 50. It would prohibit smaller religious bodies from teaching or professing their faith, owning property, or renting public buildings, and it would prohibit gifts from anonymous or foreign donors. So as we pray for our brothers and sisters in Eritrea and Kazakhstan, let's not forget in India's West Bengal state, local Christians and missionaries face death threats for their faith, according to Mission News Network. 14 members of a Gospel for Asia church were severely beaten and forced to leave their homes July 10th after being accused of forcing conversions and bringing an illness to the village. The mob threatened to kill the believers if they remained there. Village leader Nagesh Rai brought the matter to the attention of local police, which led to calls for his resignation by protesting villagers. On July 16th, the believers were removed to a different location for their own safety. And days after his release from a month of interrogation and severe torture under secret police custody, Iranian Christian Moshe Namvar has fled across the border into Turkey with his family for safety reasons. They arrived in eastern Turkey with his wife and son. The 44-year-old had been held incommunicado by a branch of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards from May 31st until June 26th. Keeping our brothers and sisters in our prayers every day. More Way of the Master Radio is coming up. I'm Tony Perkenis.
The Way of the Master Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not. Does God care about your heart or if you call his son Jesus?
All beliefs have become only relatively true. And of course, to the world, religion is the most subjective of all because they believe it's just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation. And so the culture is becoming more and more relativistic, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for the Way of the Master Radio with Kirk Cameron, Ray Comfort, and Todd Friel.
You know, right up my nose it goes. This, you know, Matthew sending this in, I don't know who you think you are, Pally. This is Way of the Master Radio. Hey, Todd, if you want to say this live, that would be great. Anyone in the Tucson, Arizona area who wants to go out street witnessing the Way of the Master Way, we meet at the corner of 6th and Euclid on Friday nights between 6 and 6:30 in the big student parking lot. They can contact me, Joe, at 520-232-4435 or Matthew at 520-686-0969. Well, I just... Why would you think I would do something like that? This is Way of the Master Radio. We're
going to
have
a
free-for-all Friday. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. You call, we chat. We've never had an email from Tibet before. We just got one.
You had a Tibetan email?
Yeah, right at the top of the hour here. Brainiac just walked this in. Hello, Todd. It's 3 a.m. here in Tibet. Couldn't get through using Skype. Here's my question. Dude, I want to pray for you right now. We live as missionaries in the I'm not going to say his name. We live as missionaries in what is known as a closed country. If you openly share the gospel, you're likely to get kicked out. So we typically have to censor our own selves in regards to sharing the gospel. You share when you know you won't get in trouble, and you keep your mouth shut or your tracks in your pocket when you think you might get in trouble with authorities. How would you, Todd, personally deal with this tension? Buying some time before we get to your calls, let's check in with the lawman who's out with the Ambassador's Academy right now.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, dude, what's going on?
Hey, we're at the corner of Hollywood and Highland right now, and it's our street light preaching spot. What we do is we time the street light so that as the crowd gathers across the street, we present them with about a minute to 90-second law and gospel presentation. Captive audience, they're not going to go anywhere. In fact, we beg them not to dart into the street because of what they're hearing. And they get the law and the gospel in about 90 seconds.
Is somebody doing it right now?
Someone's doing it right now.
Let's give a listen.
Your proclamation of love would be false. If you claim to love God, you got to do the things that he loves. What does he love? He loves the Ten Commandments. Obey them. Repent. Trust in Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Guys, faith and repentance, Jesus Christ, the only way. Thank you very much.
Right.
Babo.
Yeah, that was like the last 15, 30 seconds of the open air. The light changed, and so he wound it down while the people were crossing, and now we wait for the next group to gather, and there are thousands and thousands of people out here on Hollywood Boulevard today. It's just amazing.
You know,
we've got 25 to 30 people in the academy that have never open air preached, and many of the voices you're going to hear today are people getting up on the box for the very first time. It's amazing.
Now, I got to tell you, the only thing that would make this better, what they're doing, is if this type of thing were happening all over the country, in cities all over the country. I mean, if people just, this was just going on constantly. The gospel's being proclaimed everywhere. Regularly, you're bumping into these people, whether they're hanging from a light post or standing on a soapbox or passing out a gospel tract. What would that do in this country? Instead of Christians just busy, busy, busy with a bazillion things, there was just, in every town, 50 every night, 100 every night doing this.
I read in the Bible that told me of a man that died over 2,000 years ago, that died for my sins, the sins that I've committed. I tell you right now, I don't deserve to go to hell, heaven. I deserve to go to hell. And if you're in the same boat as me, I hate to tell you, but you deserve it too. But over 2,000 years ago, God came in the form of a man and died on the cross for my sins that I've committed. And I just ask you to check what I'm saying. If you have a Bible, read it. And let's see if these things that I tell you, see if they're true or not. I'd just like to thank you for this time.
I got to tell you, that's magnificent. And not only that, but what I just heard in there, you see, this is one reason. I'm not looking for trouble here, but doing big, spectacular miracles and healing things aren't necessary, because that guy hanging from the street at the Ambassador's Academy can say, go read your Bible. We've got this book. That's why we don't need those signs. We got the book now. We got the book. We got the book. And that's why we can lead people to that, and we've got some authority behind our words. The Ambassador's Academy going on now. You can't go this month, but if you would like to take a look into September or October, they're taking applications. You got to go through a little bit of a process. Find out more by going to the Ambassador's Academy, just the little deal that we've got at wayofthemasterradio.com. It's right on top there. You won't miss it. Just click on it, and you'll get all the info you need. Join Easy and Tony and Lawman, and Kirk and Ray, and Leon Brown is out there. wayofthemasterradio.com. We'll get more from Lawman and from the guys hanging from the light posts.
Okay, and I have a picture now going on in my head of Gene Kelly.
I'm doing a little Singing in the Rain.
With that, when he's hanging on the lamppost, kind of spinning around.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm seeing.
Yeah, well.
I don't think he is, but.
It's kind of had to create your own theater on this one.
I'm supposing.
1-877 Law Grace. It's a free-for-all Friday. Going to respond to our Tibetan friend in just a moment. Let's take a phone call or two, shall we? David is in California streaming. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I had a question about 1 Timothy 3:16-17 that says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and for correction,
mm-hmm.
for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work.
Yep.
What scripture is Paul referring to there?
I think both the Old and New Testament personally. Undoubtedly the Old Testament, for sure, because that was the authorized canon that was in view. The reason that I also suspect, though, that he had inspired letters in view is that we see in, let me go find it for you, I want to say 1 Peter, let me go look for it. When Peter says that some have taken Paul's letters and they've twisted them, his inspired letters, and they've twisted them, clearly Peter knew that Paul was writing inspired scripture. Did Paul know that he was writing inspired scripture? The answer is, don't know exactly. We can't say. I don't think definitively, but I think we can suspect that he did if we had to take a shot at it. And so I think that he probably was thinking this too and anything else that is inspired, but definitely old and probably new too.
Okay. And one extra brief question, if I may. Psalms 19:7 says that the law is perfect, and I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
You think of that 1 Timothy 5:18, for the scripture says, you shall not, the laborer is worthy, do not receive an, where is it? Let the elders, hey, that's not the right verse for you.
No, I'm thinking of Psalms 19:7.
No, I know you are, but while you're collecting your thought here, I was just going to share with you where oh, no wonder why I'm in the wrong book of the Bible here. When Peter makes it clear, sorry, wrong book, that he authorizes Paul, he makes it clear that Paul was an inspired writer of New Testament scripture, that it was inspirational material. And so that's why I also suspect that he was, that in view, they were thinking that the New Testament letters also. Go ahead, dude. What about 19:7, Psalm 19:7?
Okay, Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. If something is perfect, can it be changed?
Say that again, dude.
If something is perfect,
yeah,
can it be changed, or does it, or more specifically, if something is perfect, does it need to be changed?
Well, I'm not sure what you're getting at with that. Help me out.
A lot of people say that the Sabbath has been changed.
Ah.
But if the law is perfect, and the law that David was speaking about was the Torah,
mm-hmm.
then something that's perfect cannot be changed.
Oh, well, there's more than one verse that talks about that, though, sir. I mean, you got to put the whole thing together, and it doesn't mean that suddenly it's not perfect. It simply served its purpose, that's all.
Well,
doesn't mean that it's imperfect.
Well, I'm confused then, because Isaiah 56 says that the Gentiles will take a hold of God's covenant through the Sabbath.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but
so
David.
So Isaiah confused also?
No. But that's, you don't just take a verse that's talking about an issue and eliminate every other verse that's discussing that subject as if it didn't exist, and then you put them all together and harmonize them.
Well, then Ecclesiastes, Solomon says that the duty of man was to do the commandments of God, which the commandments in that case would be the Torah and the Law and the Prophets.
Yeah.
Was Solomon confused?
Not at all, but I'll just respond the same way, David. You can't just pick a verse and say, well, now this is all there is to the issue with just ignoring all of the other verses.
Okay.
To harmonize all of the scriptures together, to systematize everything rightly, you've got to make sure you take all of the verses. It sounds like you're wanting to deal with the Sabbath issue. You take all the issues on the Sabbath, and you put them in, and you figure out how they all harmonize together, and then you come up with your theology, and you're right about those verses written in that covenant at that time for those people. But you've also got to consider things like Colossians chapter 2. You've got to consider things like Hebrews. And the
fulfillment. Colossians chapter 2 is talking about the written ordinances, which would be the law of Moses, not the moral law written on stone.
Okay, so David, the point is that you'd like to make is?
I'm just asking, again, if we are to point out sin, how can it be possible that there are only 9 commandments and not 10 commandments?
Oh, well, that one, here's the shot that I'll give you on that, David. It depends on how you want to deal with how you interpret Scripture and what your method is. There's 3, basically, in dealing with the Sabbath issue specifically. You can defined the Old Testament laws in three different columns, although the Bible itself doesn't do that. Moral laws, civil laws, and then you've also got ceremonial laws. And then you deal with them in those categories and in those columns. The Old Testament laws that dealt with ceremonies, gone. The Old Testament laws that dealt with the nation of Israel, how they're supposed to run the civil laws, gone. But the moral laws are still there. The challenge that you have, again, is Colossians chapter 2 and saying about the keeping of the Sabbath. Furthermore, you've got the New Testament church celebrating the Sabbath not on Saturday, but on Sunday, the first day of the week. So they would have been in clear violation of that. With that in mind, I think one of the other two methods of dealing with Old Testament laws is probably better, and that is to do this. To say that in the Old Testament, you can take your choice on this. All the laws are gone. All of them. The eating with the hoofs and the lamb and the feet and the deer with the thing and you don't eat this and the cloven. Everything. All gone. None of it. Including the Ten Commandments. Don't panic yet. Unless it's reiterated in the New Testament. And what we see are 9 out of the 10 moral laws, the Ten Commandments, reiterated in the New Testament. The other option is everything in the Old Testament is valid. They're all there unless they are they are told that we do not celebrate them in the New Testament. Either way, what you end up with is that Sabbath issue. If you want to take a more detailed look at that, I think if you go back to Way of the Master Radio Archives, it's the January 16th show from 2006. We went into detail on this. Jesus, in my opinion, the Lord of the Sabbath, is the fulfillment of that shadowy picture. And that's what I think is going on very clearly in Colossians 2, 16 and 17. We now celebrate, we have a day of rest every day in Jesus. And so there doesn't need to be a day set aside where we don't work. That was a shadowy picture of the burden of our sins and the laboring. Now that we have Jesus, we are rested from our labors. We are rested from any work righteousness. If we are resting in Him, then we rest in Him, the Lord of the Sabbath, every single day. And what, because we know from, I believe it's Exodus 34, that the seal of the Old Covenant was the Sabbath. The Old Covenant is gone, so is the seal, because we have the fulfillment in Jesus. It is a much, in my opinion, grander understanding of the Sabbath. We rest every day. The Jews got one day a week after 6 days of hard labor just to go, okay, I'm catching my breath. Back to work you go. Oh, I want rest. I want rest. You've got a little bit of rest. Oh, I go back to work. I'll go back to work. We Christians, we rest in Jesus every single day. And therefore, that strict keeping of a day set aside, in my opinion, is gone. Frank is in Texas streaming. Frank, thank you very much for calling. Hello, sir.
Yes, this is Frank. My question was, how do I approach my pastor who's planning to go to the Lakeland Revival probably next week?
Wow. Frank, very gently and lovingly, I would suggest take a look at, there was an article by Bud Press. Just do a Google for Bud Press, and then I would do Bud Press, Todd Bentley, where he wrote an article that these miracles that he's doing aren't verifiable and certifiable. Nightline just did a piece. None of his miracles are verifiable and certifiable. The Associated Press has just revealed that none of his miracles are verifiable and certifiable. So his claims are turning out that they are all false. But more than that, Frank, we need to examine what the man is doing. It's because he could create some sort of miracle that's verifiable, but that doesn't prove that he's authentic. So we need to compare him to Scripture. He's not preaching clearly. He's not using the Scripture. Jesus isn't being exalted. There isn't a true move of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what, Frank, when we come back, we'll do this. Two things. Would you witness in Tibet at the threat of your life? And then what does mark a true revival? What should be happening there so that we can know, yes, that's of God and I can go to Lakeland or run for your life? By the way, he's going to be in Los Angeles, Todd Bentley, this weekend, and Lawman is going to be there. What do you know? We'll get that report to boot. We'll tackle that all in your calls next on Way of the Master Radio.
Hi, this is Kirk Cameron, and I'm inviting you to go deeper. Deeper is a 2-day event where you'll be immersed in amazing biblical teaching from some of today's most notable teachers, including Paul Washer, Ray Comfort, and Ken Ham. Attend Deeper, and you'll never go back to the shallows again. Worship will be led by Scott Crepane, and I'll also be hosting some special sessions just for teens. Join me for Deeper on October 17th and 18th in Atlanta. Get the details at deeperconference.com. That's deeperconference.com. Come on, what are you waiting for?
Come with me now, won't you, as we visit the internet together. I'm at evangelismteam.com. They've got a little section that says tracts, how to use them, how to get them, the harvest, be a laborer, how to do street preaching, how to pass out tracts, how to watch videos, how to answer Bible questions. Tons of resources, videos, and tracts. These people love to reach the lost. And if you do too, or even if you don't, visit evangelismteam.com. We love these guys. They support the radio station. They've got tons of goods. Visit them at evangelismteam.com.
I've gone back to the time when dinosaurs weren't just confined to zoos.
In extraordinary ways, modern archaeology is affirming the historical core of the Old and New Testaments, supporting key portions of crucial biblical stories. Reader's Digest, June 2000. This is Way of the Master with Todd Friel, Ray Comfort, and Kirk Cameron.
This is sad news. Greg Laurie's son was killed in a car accident yesterday morning. Highway 91, I believe. Los Angeles? Wife? Pregnant? Two-year-old child? Doesn't get any sadder than that. Doesn't get any sadder than that. I'll tell you, this is how's about Stephen Curtis Chapman and his little girl? It is such a reminder. Oh, how good it will be to be in heaven where none of this, all the tears, all the sorrow, all the sadness gone, the woes of this fallen world that a child should not precede a parent in death. I don't know of anything sadder. So to the Greg Laurie family, I'm sure you'll be praying for them. This is Way of the Master Radio. Well, John MacArthur says the New Testament writers knew that they were inspired, so that settles that issue. Next, 1-877 Law Grace. I was just looking up 2 Peter 3:15 and 16. It's pretty, I should remember this. I don't know why I don't. It's 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16. All scripture is inspired by God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. You've also got 1 Peter 1, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But then 2 Peter 3:15 and 16, we've got that 15 and 16 thing again. That reminds us about the inspired word of God. Here's what it says. Peter knew that Paul was writing inspired scripture. Consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things, hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of scriptures. And then he also cites as a cross-reference verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. I got to tell you, we're not going to do this today, but we've got something for you on sad. A fellow on the internet trying to explain why Todd Bentley uses the word shikaboomba and bam. He does a shikaboomba is a baptism, and this guy tries to explain what it means. I'm not kidding. And this, I can't help but think of this. And some untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. People take verses and teaching and twist them and mangle because they're not taught. And that's why people do need to learn how to read the scripture. They do need to understand how to interpret it. They do need to sit under the feet of a, well, not under the feet, but at the feet. Ooh, prepositional problems here. Of a good teacher so that they don't get confused on these things. The man is actually, let's just do it now. Hey, David!
Yes, sir.
Where's the guy explaining the shikaboomba business?
In Tide Drops.
What's it called? Shikaboomba?
Shikaboomba, I think.
No, don't have shikaboomba. You know, this conversation alone is one for the books, isn't it? So where's the shikaboomba thing that the pastor, that the guy gave?
This is what sets this show apart, dude.
Well, I'm...
Here.
Hey, I didn't write this stuff. I'm not the one who's created the shikaboomba business. There's people out there defending Todd Bentley. I wish it were Tom. Todd Bentley's language, shikaboomba, and bam, all over the place. You find it, dude? Where is it?
Are you looking for the pastor defending Todd?
No.
Right.
That guy with the beard on the internet?
Oh, shikaboomba guy.
The Sheikah Boomba guy. Okay, Rick will find it for us.
Give it
to David, and we'll get that thing. You're going to hear it, and you're just going to be sad. You're just going to be sad about the deal. Just sad that people are so confused. There's one other thing. The Tibet guy. Would you pass out a gospel tract if you knew that your life was in danger? What else was it going to be? There was something else. Were you taking notes in there?
Not well enough, apparently.
All right. Would you, if you were in Tibet at the threat of death, pass out gospel tracts or preach? What would you do? What would you do? The answer I think any of us should give is, I don't know until I'm really presented with the situation. I don't know. I mean, I've thought it through. I've kind of thought it about it. But I don't think until you are really presented with it in a real vivid way do you come up with a serious answer. But the fellow who did come up with a serious answer, the one that is, I think, the best advice on this, because the Bible doesn't really describe it. Here's what we see in the Bible. We see some fleeing and some that endure it. Moses, sometimes he fled, sometimes he stood. David fled, sometimes he stood. Jeremiah fled, sometimes he stood. Christ withdrew himself, he stood. That was more for timing issues. Paul fled, Paul stood. So John Bunyan, writing from his prison cell, a man who was familiar with persecution, who all he had to do was say, okay, I won't preach, I'll get back to the church. And he could go home to his wife and children and his blind daughter, Mary. It broke his heart to be in jail. And answering the question, can a Christian flee suffering? Basically what he says is yes and no. Yes and no. It depends on your heart and it depends on your circumstances. The Bible isn't giving a ton. It allows for both. So use your brain. Examine your heart. Make sure that that you're not doing it out of a slavish fear, but because it can be a better benefit in some way. Opening up a door opened by God, by providence, and then you can escape through it. If you can, then you should. Or practice wisdom. I think it's the individual's call. But then if you do flee it, do it things as much as you can in another place where you don't receive persecution, was the advice of Bunyan. So weigh your circumstances. What's going on? What's my heart? What's my motive? Many men, women, they died for the gospel, knowing full well, getting malaria, going to Africa, going to David Brainerd with the Indians, risking life and limb. It's a heart issue. And don't let anybody condemn you either way. It's between you and God. So my Tibetan friend will be praying for you. We should be praying for our brothers and sisters overseas all the time anyway. And do what is best in your situation. And don't feel pistol whipped if you decide, well, I'm not going to get killed. I'm going to be wise. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. It's a free-for-all Friday. Lucette is in Oklahoma. Lucette, hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. Thanks for your patience.
Oh, you're welcome. I have a question. With all the different Bible translations out there, and I've actually seen conflict between a couple of people before over a particular translation, which Bible translation would be the, I'd say, best to read? That's more, I don't want to use the term accurate, but less conflicting maybe?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Can you hear me if I hang up on you, Lucette?
I can turn up the radio, yes.
Okay, you do that because you're just a little staticky. Wow, you're experiencing a creepy moment right now because last night I'm reading Nehemiah and I'm reading in the New Living Translation. Let me find it for you here. The New Living Translation of Nehemiah. Nehemiah basically said, the plan that God laid on my heart for rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem. And I went, laid on my heart? That is such evangelical lingo. So I ran over to this happens to be the New King James Version, which is a more formal equivalent of the Bible. And when I read what the more formal equivalent of the Bible had to say, I went, oh, it's not laying on your heart. It's Nehemiah chapter 2. Wow, this is almost like this was set up. Listen to what a more word-for-word translation was. It was Nehemiah chapter 2. I hope I can find it here. Then the king said to the queen, further I said to the king, if it pleases the king, be able to... the plans that God told me. Now, being told by God versus having it laid on your heart, while we kind of get the concept here, it can be we can get lost here with such loose evangelical language as laid on my heart. That's the New Living Translation way of saying the plans that God told me. Clearly, Nehemiah believed that God was speaking directly to him in an inspired way, which should be written down so that everybody could know it for forever. Kind of that conversation we were having earlier. Did the Old Testament writers know that they were inspired? Here is the message from God. Makes it sound like this is a special, unique thing that happens, and it is certain and specific. And I know for sure it's coming from God. Laid on my heart could be a feeling, couldn't it? You know, God laid this on my heart, and I just feel like I need to take a trip to Kentucky. Well, hold on a second. What does that mean, laid on your... It's a feeling, it's a sense, it's a vibe, it's an emotion. That's radically different than God told me this. So that's an example of a more functional equivalent versus a formal one. Here's what I would suggest
that you
do.
Wait, where are you at in Nehemiah?
Chapter 2.
Thank you.
Got it. What version are you using, by the way?
I have the ESV.
The ES... There's another good choice. By the way, that is a more formal equivalent. Here's my suggestion.
You still haven't told me the verse.
I'm looking, dude. I'm looking.
The one you were just reading.
Here's the problem.
Yeah?
I got Bibles all over the place. Yep. And I'm getting a little Bible overload right now, if there is such a thing.
You can just email it to me later.
No, I'll grab it. I'll grab it for you. So the New Living Translation is going to be a little loosey-goosey. The NIV is going to be a little less loosey-goosey, but it's going to take some liberties with language. If you like, and I think this is just a wise thing to do, sit with a couple. Get yourself a more conservative, formal translation of the Bible, like... The ESV is lovely. The New King James Version, fine. Get yourself an NASB, fine. Those are all more conservative, formal equivalents. In other words, you're going to, it's verse 12, by the way, dude. You are going to...
Thank you.
Get a clearer understanding of what God said. And sometimes when you run into tricky spots, then look over to your more functional equivalent, your NLT and your NIV, and you're going to go, okay, got the gist of it. Now back to the more formal and put them all side by side. And you'll get a pretty good balance of being able to make your way through, and you won't get taken into the weeds by somebody else's interpretation of the Bible. So I'm not about condemning things like the NLT or the NIV. You just got to be careful with them. Here, what is yours? What does Nehemiah 2:12 say in yours?
And I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem.
Okay, the NASB, I believe, says that God told me.
I like that the best so far.
Pardon me?
I like that the best.
Well, even
that
so.
God told me.
Well, put into my heart, and the New Living Translation is the plans that God had put in my heart.
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference there that allows for some different understandings. And while that maybe isn't the best example, I bumped into it last night, and I was like, wait a second, plans God had put in my heart, that's how we talk. That's not how Nehemiah would have talked. And so I went and looked it up, and there's a lot of those examples where we've got evangelical lingo that's made its way into some of our translations. Or maybe, I'm not sure which came first, maybe we pulled some of our lingo out of the translations. But even so... Do the two side by side, and you'll get a much better balance, and you won't find yourself in hot water. Richard is in Texas on KDKR. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Todd.
Hello.
Hey, I've got a question, and then I've got a comment.
Yes, sir.
My question is, did you get that coffee thing worked out?
Did I get the what, dude?
The coffee thing worked out.
No, you know, here's the deal. You know...
He's not jittering as much.
Now, this is just going to be embarrassing. The water's back in business, right?
Right.
But it's only been a day, and so because in order to work here, you have to have some sort of germ phobia of some sort, we're still too afraid to use the water, so we haven't had our normal amount of coffee. So thanks for the question.
Right.
That's simply
embarrassing. I'm concerned for you and
I can hear it in your voice, dude. Yeah, thank you.
Right. Okay, here's my comment. My comment, you've been taking a lot of flack about your comments that you made about Ellen Johnson getting fired.
Right.
And I wanted to put a little different perspective on it and how we as saints would feel when enemies of the cross, be it abortion clinic workers, the doctors and the staff, if an abortion clinic closed, I mean, it closed legitimately because they were not having the patience and the money to keep it up, would we not rejoice, would we not rejoice that that abortion clinic closed and those people lost their job? Let them go find legitimate jobs in the medical field.
Dude, I agree completely. But, you know, if on the way out they stub their toe and they break their knee, I don't rejoice over their calamity, but I'm glad when evil goes away. It's Way of the Master Radio. Thanks, dude.
Hi, this is Kirk Cameron, and I'm inviting you to go deeper. Deeper is a two-day event where you'll be immersed in amazing biblical teaching from some of today's most notable teachers, including Paul Washer, Ray Comfort, and Ken Ham. Attend Deeper, and you'll never go back to the shallows again. Worship will be led by Scott Crepane, and I'll also be hosting some special sessions just for teens. Join me for Deeper on October 17th and 18th in Atlanta. Get the details at deeperconference.com. That's deeperconference.com. Come on, what are you waiting for?
If you like WorldNetDaily.com or TownHall.com, you're going to love ChristianWorldViewNetwork.com. If you're a geek or not, figure out how to use that favorites button and type in www.ChristianWorldViewNetwork.com. Great articles. I mean, really great articles. And you'll find out about Worldview Weekend conferences, which go all over the country. Ravi Zacharias, David Noble, Ray Comfort, and our very own Growing Pain frequently on the tour. It's www.ChristianWorldViewNetwork.com.
I would advise you to make the explanation you were about to give phenomenally good.
Postmodernism says there is no truth. But if that statement is true, then it is false.
You are officially out of control.
This is Way of the Master with Todd Friel, Ray Comfort, and Kirk Cameron.
Nehemiah 2, verse 12. And I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem. And there was no animal with me except for the animal on which I was riding. Huh? What God was putting into my mind versus the plans God had put in my heart for Jerusalem. First of all, even if you want to say, well, mind, heart, you know, kind of the same thing. Well, hold on. They're not necessarily the same thing. And furthermore, they're clearly two different words. And that can be the difference between a more functional equivalent like the NLT or the NIV versus a more formal equivalent like the ESV or the NASB or the King James or the New King James Version. There's going to be a difference. And sometimes it can make a big difference. And I suggest you just put the two side by side when you're reading them. Otherwise, I don't think you're going to get as clear a picture. And if you're going to err, it really wouldn't be an error. But if you're just going to get one translation, get the more formal and tough your way through some of the tough language. Sometimes it's better to do it that way than to have a looser translation. Use the looser one to simply help you get through the harder one. Don't lean on the looser one. Lean on the heavy one and use the looser one in support of the more formal. 1-877-LAW-GRACE, 1-877-LAW-GRACE. It's a free-for-all Friday here on Way of the Master Radio. You call, we chat about whatever. Valerie is in Ohio. Hello, Valerie.
Hi, how are you today?
Very good, thank you.
I'm going back to the abortion, why you need to handle somebody that's had an abortion.
Sure.
A little bit.
Yep.
Tuck here. Well, the one thing you said, a child should never precede the parents. And then we realize that we become the cause of our child's forgiveness. And even though I've received God's grace and his forgiveness, and I've been an activist, talked in South Dakota and Montana and Minnesota about it, I still cry. I still ask Jesus to tell my baby I love him or her.
Yeah.
And but I have the hope of seeing her or him again.
Yeah.
And you know, I've committed all 10 commandments. I have broke them literally. And God's grace forgave me. But for some reason, the murder of my child just constantly sticks with me because that might have been the child that was perfect, found the cure for AIDS. I mean, I don't know, but I killed it.
Yeah, Valerie, you know, let me share with you two thoughts, all right? A friend of mine, Kim Jeffries, she's got a radio program in Minneapolis on KTIS. You might want to go just Google her website and find out, because she had a ministry, I don't know that she's doing it anymore, where she would minister to women and men who had abortions. And she one time, Valerie, said something that it's never left me. She had an abortion, got saved, but continued to just grieve and grieve and grieve, even though she knew her sins were forgiven. And it struck her that the reason that she held on to her grief was because that was the only connection she had with her baby. If she celebrated forgiveness and didn't feel the guilt over it anymore, she felt like it's now I have no emotional tie to that child. And so she worked through it to try to, in her brain, get it straight. I am forgiven. The guilt is gone. But I hold on to my baby and knowing that someday I will see my child and keep that connection as opposed to the guilt, because the guilt should be gone, Valerie. I know it's hard. But don't confuse guilt with feeling bad. Feeling bad is still okay, but don't feel guilty. There's a big difference in those two emotions.
No, I don't feel guilty.
Okay,
I feel bad that I terminated my child, and I asked Jesus to tell him I love him.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
So, and that's not guilt. I don't feel guilt. I know I've been forgiven.
Good. Good. Hey, thanks for the work you do, okay?
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
I got to tell you, in South Dakota, who is it that called in? I'm telling you, what's going on in South Dakota is amazing. In fact, who was it that was saying about the different take on being celebrating and being happy that an abortion clinic goes out of business? It appears that's going on in South Dakota. I mean, that could happen.
The only one left open closed.
It did?
Yeah.
Really? When did that happen?
Dude, you did the salute to him yesterday.
No, but they didn't say that it had closed. The article
closed.
That I had, it did close.
It is closed, but they don't know if it's permanent. Right now,
I knew that the doctors weren't showing up.
Because they have to fly them in. They have to get them from outlying Minnesota, Iowa there.
And even they don't know what to do because they don't know what they can say because they don't want to say that, oh, by the way, you'll be ending a human life.
By the way,
an independent individual human.
Yeah.
And they know that nobody's going to do it in their right mind, which is exactly, at least somebody should make the decision based on the correct information. So good. It might be done for sure,
huh? Could be done forever, yeah. Unless I can find a doctor who's willing to.
That's huge. And if that stands up, wouldn't that be great if that were the pattern around the nation? 1-877-LAW-GRACE. 1-877-LAW-GRACE. It's a free-for-all Friday if and you want to call and chat. In the meantime, Lawman is out with the Ambassador's Academy. Let's check in and see what's going on.
Hey, Todd, we just had one of our amplification stations shut down by L.A.'s finest.
They told you to take it home, huh?
Well, no. Just the amplification, just the PA system. It's an obscure ordinance here in LA City that you need a permit to have amplification. But out here in Hollywood, where the whole world gathers, it's really not enforced until a business complains. And so we had a business complain, and so I got called over and had a chat with my brothers behind the badge, and we agreed to submit to their authority about the amplification. And we're just bringing it a la Whitfield down there on the corner.
Don't you wish you had his voice for open air preaching?
Oh, sir, yes, sir. Hey, I got Leon on the box right now arguing with a guy who goes by the name Dollhouse Hat Dude.
I'm sorry, the name is what?
Dollhouse Hat Dude.
This is weird.
He's got an old Barbie dollhouse strapped to the top of his head.
Oh.
He's one of the resident aliens. It makes you wonder if extraterrestrial life is in fact a reality.
Well, no, I was going to say it's kind of uncanny because that's my parents almost called me that.
Oh, yeah.
They went with Todd instead. I don't know why exactly.
Another piece of the puzzle that is Todd Friel.
Okay, let me ask you a question, dude.
Yeah.
The man with a dollhouse on his head, is there... What are his faculties? Has he got it all together? Is he a little...
Well, no, he's semi-lucid, but what Leon is doing so well is he's merely using him as an object lesson and a springboard to preach the gospel to the other people here on Hollywood Boulevard.
Well, I'd stop and watch a man who's got a dollhouse on his head. Let's give it a listen, shall we?
500 people saw Jesus Christ after he resurrected from the dead. That'll be over 4K, Juan. So it's not a matter of my opinion or your opinion. The fact that 500 people saw Christ after he resurrected from the dead, defeating death. And after the 40th day, he went back to heaven, Juan. And in his earliest calls of the people, Juan, this is what he said. He said, you must repent. The word repent, folks, means to turn from your sin. And you must believe the gospel. Juan, that's the good news of the gospel. The Bible says God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, check this out, Juan.
Time is up, sir.
Check this out.
If you kill me, then I know I'm coming back. Where is the sacrifice?
Sacrifice is it. Jesus said,
No man takes my life, but I lay it down freely. Check this out. What, can I ask your question?
Yeah, you can kill me 1,000 times, but if I'm coming back, where is the sacrifice?
You're not coming back. The Bible says the appointed for man wants to die in the judgment. You got to stand before God and give an account of your life, Juan. Now, check this out. This is how you and I both know what I'm saying is true, even if you don't want to admit it. The Bible says that the work of the law is written on your heart, Juan. You know it's wrong to lie. You know it's wrong to kill or murder.
Okay, I got
to
jump in for a second. I happened to catch Leon Brown. I watched him on a DVD the other night, and he had a fellow standing at a microphone. His name was Josh. I remember because Leon said his name 20 to 30 times. Big crowd gathered around. He kept Josh at the microphone and engaged and using his name and using his name and using its name. It's kind of a, first of all, it had the effect of keeping the guy there. It also had another effect. That he's, it's as if he was talking to that guy and yet talking to everybody, and he didn't come across as an impersonal jerk. By using somebody's name in a witness encounter, by using somebody's name in open-air preaching, I think just makes you look a little bit more like a human being, and I think keeps people a little bit more involved.
Hey, Dollhouse Hat Dude was going off on the sexual preference of King James, so I thought it was time to... Pull the phone away. Thank you very much.
Well, good thing I was chatting. All right, dude. Well done. Well done.
It's going great. Hey, we're heading to Glendale tonight. We're out here for 5 hours, hitting it hard. We're going to take about a half-hour drive to downtown Glendale, and we'll be hitting it there all night long, and then Huntington Beach tomorrow. Hey, real quick, Todd.
Yeah.
A young lady in the academy who said that she was not going to open-air preach. She was determined not to. She got on a box for the first time outside of Grauman's Chinese Theater. She set aside the fear and did it anyway. A young lady professing to be a Christian was so broken, she was weeping in front of her as she was preaching, and begged our group to pray for her after this young lady got off the box for the first time.
Dude, so cool. All right,
man.
Stay safe. Stay safe, you guys. It's the Ambassadors Academy. You can find out more. Go to wayofthemasterradio.com, wayofthemasterradio.com, and you can find out how you could be out there maybe in September or October. All right, Brainiac just walked in. He gave me some more examples. Of Bible translations.
Thank you.
The message. I mean, that's not even really a Bible translation.
That'd be more
really.
Of a paraphrase of a...
But here's a formal equivalent of the Bible. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. The message, count yourself lucky. How happy you must be. You get a fresh start. Your slate's wiped clean. Count yourself lucky. God holds nothing against you and you're holding nothing back from him. Not... even close. All right. Sorry for this, but we found it. This is the fellow, and this is the unstable, untaught individual twisting scripture. In this case, it happens to be an individual on a YouTube video twisting or trying to interpret Todd Bentley. Todd Bentley, we've talked about him enough around here at Way of the Master Radio. He's calling baptisms shikaboombas. I'm an adult. How come I have to be using words like this? It's come to this. We're in talking about people. You should have... Hey, David! David!
Yes, sir.
What were the different clips that you found? Describe what were the different things like you were doing earlier this morning? You were the Sheikah Boomba and the Boom and the Sheik and the Bam and the Wabba Labba Doom Dum.
The Sheikah Boomba Umba Shumba Boomba. Right? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. A fellow got on the internet trying to defend Todd Bentley because, well, enough people have been saying this is just simply silly. And I got to tell you something. I watched this fellow and all I could do is I thought two thoughts. One, I'm sad. I'm sad that somebody's trying to defend this and has such a torturous way of thinking and using scripture. And second, I thought... oh, if he just had a copy of Herman Hu available at wayofthemasterradio.com.
Sheikah interprets girl, bride, church. So when we say Sheikah Boomba, we're saying blow up the church with glory, blow up the church with power, be made powerful in love, be made powerful in love.
You got that, because Sheikah means girl, bride, church, and Boomba is power, dynamite. So blow up the church with power. That's what Todd Bentley apparently means when he says Shikaboomba. At least that's what it means to him. That's his private interpretation of Todd Bentley's word. This is just bonkers. And this is just a calamity.
Shikaboomba, Shikaboomba, Shikaboomba. And what's the bam? Bam. Well, that's the power. Acts 2 says you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. That power is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. What does dynamite do? It explodes. Bam. Shikaboomba. Bam, bam. It's the girl bride church, glory explosion made powerful, bam, explosive kingdom of heaven reality manifested in the earth that will set you free from the demon, that will get you filled up with the Holy Ghost and power to be a witness in signs, wonders, miracles, and healings. And I pray that you also get hungry for the Shikaboomba.
Cherry preserves. What that means is, because cherry is like sweet and really good and it can be really nutritious, and preserves, it stays things, it keeps things. And so you eat the cherry preserves and it'll keep you walking in the truth. That's what that word means. Or you could read the Bible word for word from a formal translation. And understand just a wee little bit of hermeneutics. I'm sad. Until Monday, go serve your king. Who'd have thought?